Verses 14 to 30. Glad to have Mark and Earl Eby here this evening to share. Hopefully it's an encouragement for each of us to support the work in Maine. I know that those in Maine have put a lot into what Mark's going to be speaking about tonight. They're not coming here, or Mark's not coming here asking for money from us when they haven't given a lot themselves already. I don't know the exact figure, so I'm not going to say a number, but I know that there was a lot of money raised by the three churches in Maine to put towards the purchase of this project. So they're not coming asking without already having done their part. Let's read here Matthew 25, 14, 30. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let me start over. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this, we're very strongly encouraged to use what we've been given very wisely. That's not only our money, it's our talents, the gifts that God has given us. Whether that's in organization, in speaking, in supporting and encouraging others, it doesn't matter what it is. This very strongly encourages us to use that to double it. Let God use it to his honor and glory. I guess since there's only a few, why don't we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for the beautiful day that you have created for us to enjoy and the ability to go about. We thank you for the safety that you've given to Mark and Earl as they've traveled some distance to come here tonight. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray that you would give them the words to speak and clarity of mind. Be with us as we listen, that we would be encouraged to support the work in Maine. We pray for this project, the Last Sheaf. We pray that your will would be done through this work. We pray that your spirit would guide and direct. We pray that you would prompt the hearts of people to support financially. We realize that it's going to take a lot of physical work, but it's also going to take a lot of finances as well. And we pray that you would move and that we would see you working through this. We just thank you once again for your love and your mercy, your goodness to us, for the plan of salvation. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. I guess, Brother Mark, I'm going to turn it over to you and Earl. And at closing, if you want to just have a closing prayer, and then we'll have a closing song. Okay.
Good evening. I saw a brother in the bathroom there, and I said, I don't know this is quite the same as preaching, but I feel just as nervous. Very different, but still nervous, and that's all right. Nothing wrong with being nervous. I had that text read. I just want to spend a minute or two there. In your humanness, if you had the five talents, what could you be tempted to think? If you were the one with five talents, what could go through your mind?
Better than somebody else.
Yeah, look what I got. If you were the guy with the two talents, what could be a negative temptation you'd face? Okay, I was thinking you could be the comparing kind of thing. Well, you know what? He has more, but I'm better than him, but I'm not as good as him. We can get caught up in that kind of thing. And if you're the one talent guy, young man, what do you think? One talent guy, what do you think?
I guess you can still think.
This young guy back here behind you. I don't know, take a guess. Can't be wrong. I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
I guess you could think just like two, why was I only given one?
And maybe what's the use? Whenever we have opportunities, I mean, this could kind of be a passage you could use for investing. I mean, they did something. They took that five talents and made five more. They did two and two more. There's always a risk in that, right? And so we seek God's will in things. And if we seek God's will and we sense his blessing and we do it, it's going to turn out right, right? Gerald, it's always going to turn out right. If we seek his will and we sense that's what he wants us to do, it's going to turn out right, right? I guess we could say it will turn out right, but it might turn out the way we want it to. Could we say that? We assume if we seek God's will and we sense his direction, this is what should happen. And we put value to that. We shape that in some form how we perceive success. And that's how we think it should be, but it doesn't always come out that way. The disciples in following Jesus were quite surprised, even though he told them when he ended up on the cross. That is not what they were anticipating. That is not why they followed him. I'm sure they were expecting something quite different, but it was the best thing, and the best was coming yet later, but there was something before that. So there's a passage, the last few verses that I am going to turn to, rather than having read two passages, that along with in Psalm 90, the last couple verses is just a couple verses that were very powerful to me a number of years ago. Starting in verse 14, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. How many of you have planned to fail? Have you ever made a plan to purposely fail? Probably not. We plan in order to succeed. We plan in order to avoid unfortunate happenings or whatever. We plan ahead to try to cover all our bases. And I just like this idea of let thy work appear unto thy servants. I think of that as us, and thy glory unto their children. That we can be involved in things where we see things we're involved in, that our children can witness the power of God in those things. I think in our parenting, as we minister to people, things we're involved in, how we allow God to work in us, that our children can actually see, wow, God's alive. And that may mean, that may be best seen when things don't work out, when things don't go the way we think they should, and they see how we deal with failure or how we deal with those kinds of things. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. We want to succeed. And I think God has created us in that. And we plan ahead. We seek his wisdom. We seek his guidance. But whenever we strike out in a new adventure, we really don't know. And if we did know, what would be missing? Faith. So when is faith faith, and when is faith you didn't properly count the cost? Where does that line? We may not always know where that line is. Where did we fail? How many have seen this paper, or on maybe on an email or electronic version? Everybody? Okay. Well, I got done writing my notes, and then I reread this again, and it's like, everything I have is on here. So this was very well done. So I don't know that you're going to hear too much more than what's spoken of there, except maybe a few more pictures. It was in the spring of 2022 that the BMM, I was going to bring the marker board out. How many know what BRF stands for? Go ahead. BMM. CBE. Go ahead. BEF. And now BME. Huh?
There's one more.
Uh-oh.
BMF.
BMF. What's that one?
Brother Mission Fund.
Ooh, yeah, I'm not as in tune to that one, but you're right, there is one more. So we have a number of those things, and that can be a bit confusing. Very well, you got all those. BMM, what used to be CBMM, but BMM now, Main Brethren Missions. Melvin Haid and Jordan Keller were more or less commissioned by that committee to look as needs were set about housing and sometimes temporary housing, maybe longer term housing, how to deal with that. They were kind of commissioned to look at that whole thing and see what are the possibilities there, what are the needs, and what can we do. Out of that, one of the most exciting things I believe that came out of that was Jordan and Melvin said, can we work together as three fellowships? There had been some tension between Lewiston and Wales over the years, and is that resolved? Can we go forward? And so Melvin and Jordan called all the boards of Lewiston, Wales, and Sanford together, and we had a dinner and then sat down together and just kind of tried to air out some of those things. I don't know if you get everything aired out in one evening, but things were put out on the floor. They were talked about, they were looked at. And so it was with that we felt, I believe, a sense that we can go forward. And so that, if nothing else, that was a good thing that came out of that. They looked at some things were discussed, and nothing really materialized there. And then this fall, and okay, I have a pile of pieces over here. Some of you children saw I got a pile of pieces here, and I'm not going to just throw them on the floor because I need to keep them ordered for me, my sake. So I'm gonna put that as a piece. I have 10 pieces of a puzzle here. So that was kind of the first piece. Seeking God, trying to make sure, see if can we work together as three fellowships? Are we united enough to be able to work together and go forward? That was in the spring of 22, and then in the summer, in the fall of 22, there was a place there in Lisbon Falls. This place right here, I got this little thing. I never used one of these things. It's the first time here. I think the property line goes here. I imagine back to that creek down around here and comes up. Something like that. I think it's shy of 5 acres, or around 5 acres, if I recall. Dave was the man that ran this. Its full name is Southern Maine Materials Exchange. They had a number of different names, but everybody kind of knows it as BME, Building Materials Exchange. Dave ran this. They had a board, but Dave was a man who ran this, and he kind of did it all. He had some helpers, but he basically did it all. We got to know him over the years, a number of us. His wife was a midwife. She was asked to move to, I think, Long Island, and they lived in Maine for a while, and so she was going there, and he said he's going with her, and so he was leaving, and their board couldn't find anybody else to replace him, and he kind of was the brains of managing it and operating it and taking care of it. He had good connections with Jim, and he kind of get after us, why don't you guys take it? And so it's like maybe this is kind of being dropped in our lap. And so a committee was formed, kind of roughly pulled together to look at that. Let's see, Jordan Keller was involved in that. Jordan and Melvin were initially involved in that. Brad Nell was asked to be a part of that, representing Sanford. Josh Minnick was asked to be a part of that committee because of his accounting skills, felt that would be important. Philip Newcomer was asked to be a part of that committee because of he was treasurer of BMM. Nathan Myers was asked to be a part of that because he was the secretary for BMM. And I was asked as well if I wanted to be a part of that, and I said I would. And so didn't really have a function, but that's why I was there. So there was pretty heavy of Wales people, but it was more because of their position and what they were involved in BMM than anything else. Melvin asked to be relieved when he kind of took over the responsibilities as lead minister there at Wales. He asked if he could be removed from the committee and be involved in other things, and that was fine. We asked Brother Earl and Brother Dennis Meyer if they would be advisory role. They're not required to be at our meetings. They're welcome to call in. They get our minutes. They get the information, and just to kind of be if we need some further advice. I asked Earl if he was going to be here. I'd be glad for him to share, and maybe Earl, if you'd share at the end and then close it out with prayer, however you see fit there. I don't know what he's going to say. I've not talked to Earl too much about this whole thing, but I thought it'd be interesting just to hear his perspective for you to hear his perspective as he's been looking on and seeing this from maybe from a different view. So I don't know what he'll say, but we'll anticipate that. So we thought this was going to be a pretty easy transition. We knew Dave from everything we got from Dave and the other guy that worked there. You pay the debt of, I think it was like $200,000. You pay the debt, here's the keys. I mean, that's kind of how that was kind of what they communicated to us, and that's kind of what we perceived. So this was going to be a pretty easy transaction. Go. Well, then we met their board, and everything kind of came to a screeching halt. And they wanted the man that had been longest on their board has been with BME for like 30 years, almost from its conception. Did not like us. Didn't like the idea that we were church. One of his fears was we're going to buy this place and turn it into a church. And so there was some misperception there. And so things just kind of came to a pretty strong halt. With the approval of BMM, we made the offer of 350,000. We knew they owed 200 and something. They thought maybe around four. We made an offer of 350. They came back with saying we want 500,000. Well, we got no. And we got permission from BMM to offer 350, so that's what we offered. I did not investigate how much time it was between our offer and their accepting that offer, but it was at least a month and maybe some weeks plus that. It seemed like an awful long time till we heard back from them. It was we thought it was a done deal. It was over. They came back and said, yes, we will accept that offer. So maybe that's the other. That's number three. We had the approval of BMM, and then we... I think I lost my little fuzzy thing here. Do I need that? Should have that. Okay. Get on there. Okay. First time I used one of these was at White Oak, and I blew my nose, and I didn't know about that. And that makes a terrible racket all over the congregation. Like, whoa. That was a memorable experience. Okay. Currently, we are incorporated. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess this might be not in all good order. But currently, we are incorporated with the state of Maine. So, and I think I'm going to share that a little later. How we came up with the name, and that's described on that sheet. The last sheaf Building Materials Exchange. We could have been the Christian Building Material Exchange. We could have been the Brethren Material Exchange. We came away from a meeting discussing what we should do. The next morning, Nathan Myers put out an email saying I was coming home, and this all kind of came to me, and he wrote that out, and we took it. It's not overtly, Jesus's Material Exchange, but felt it kind of gave an opportunity for people even to ask questions. What's that all about? I like the idea where in that sheaf with that Old Testament, you left the sheaf there, but they had to winnow it out. You didn't do all the work for them, but you made it available for them. And so there just was a number of things about that we liked. Still wanted to keep the BME, because that's how people know it. And locally, the BME, that's kind of what it's known. And so because they knew we had desired to become a 501c3, they were willing to let us use that name as well. I think I'll show the pictures here. Now, when these were shown at BMM, and you can share, Marvin, I think some people kind of looked at it more like, what do you want with that place? So this is not a, this is the oldest picture, I think. I think this is an old picture. I think they've replaced the roof since then. I was there this week, delivered some used insulation, and Tony said they were taking a dumpster out of there, about one dumpster a week before they closed in November. So they got rid of a lot of junk, but there's still a lot of tile and junk back in that. I just took these pictures last Friday, I think. I mowed early this spring the lawn. Nobody was mowing the lawn, and so we got permission from the board if we could mow the lawn and at least keep the place a little presentable. So this is the house and barn. I'll be showing pictures inside. That was rented out. They had rented it out at one point. The people didn't pay it. They evicted them, and when they left, they trashed it. But Nathan said it structurally it's sound, but it does really needs an overhaul. That's the warehouse front. Go into this door. A few years ago when you went in there, it was raining. Everything had to be covered with tarps because water was coming in all over the place. But since then, the roof has been replaced. There's still, you can see, there's obvious, there's some cosmetics and some things to still do. That's the current sign that's there. There's some people have some ideas of how to do a post and beam, maybe dress that up a little bit, but that's there. This road is 196 going from Lewiston to Lisbon, Lisbon Falls to Topsom to Brunswick. A local minister here, I saw him and he said 196 is the most used secondary road in Maine. So it is a very high traffic area. That's where you come in and pay for your goods. I don't know that I need to spend a lot of, there's a lot of good stuff there. There's a lot of stuff there that probably needs to be moved on. up above there, when I was there this week, Tony said, yeah, we have two pallets of fluorescent bulbs up there. So you need any fluorescent bulbs. And then some paint that's no good. A pallet of 5 gallon buckets of paint that's... Since they closed in November, a load of windows came in November, a load of doors came after that. They went for another load of windows, and there's another load of doors. I'll share that, I guess, a little later. Obviously, there's some insulating that still needs done. Pretty much one guy was doing everything that needed to be done there. And I think they, what happened? Did I do something?
Maybe.
I might have. So he did well, but he couldn't do it all. And we feel like that's something we would have an advantage, we'd have a big, larger resource of people to help. Some new things. This isn't responding, but maybe you know that. They had a three-tiered, like a person could bring in their tax form, and if they made a low enough income, they could get the product very reduced, or sometimes I guess they got some grant money that they could give things away. And then like myself, they had to pay $10 a year to be a member. I never paid to be a member, so when I would take something to the counter, he would look it up online, say, here's what it is at Home Depot or Lowe's, half that price. And then they had a contractor. They kind of had a tier for contractors because there's things they get that a homeowner would never use or very likely not use. Are we good to go? Okay, there we go. Molding. Yeah. I think this is all those 5 gallon buckets back there, I think is all like grout for tile. That comes with it for what that's worth, which it's working. So that's all tile. Doors, lots of doors. What did he tell me? Maybe 80% of the doors they can use, maybe 40%, you know, are just obsolete, but they are new. Light bulbs aren't a real big thing, but they got a lot of them. Nails, paint, which, new furnace. Brand new furnace. That's kind of the desk area. This is inside the house. Nathan walked through the house and got pictures. I don't know what the different room, obviously I know what that room is, but I don't know what the other different rooms are, but he felt structurally it was sound. Definitely needs some new windows, which could be a help. These pictures were last fall, or early spring maybe, and so those first pictures were summer, this was spring, in the early spring. Big parking lot. Creek right behind there, that whole warehouse is in a flood zone, and so we couldn't rebuild that. But this local minister told me that they took the dam out, so he said, you'll never have to worry about it flooding. And this summer we've had more rain than I think we've ever had, and I don't know of any time that it's risen or been a danger of flooding. So although I don't think flooding's an issue, there's not a lot we can redo with that area down below. Okay, I went through those pretty fast. If you wanna see Nathan Myers could easily get those to you. Or maybe you have them, I guess, if somebody wanted to spend a little more time with those. Two commercial realtors appraised that property for $500,000, just the land, not the buildings, just where it's setting because of where it is. Two different realtors put a value of $500,000 on that. So in that sense, we aren't being real risky as far as losing for some reason if it went downhill. I have about seven things that I put down as kind of wow, Lord. I don't know how to best describe that, but just it was pretty. In our daughter Ruth got married in February. We went to visit her in April at the Beachy Mennonite Church where she's attending. A man a little older than myself taught Sunday school. After it was over, I got to talking to him, found out he knew Jim Minnick, grew up in Mannheim, went to Mannheim Christian Day School, knew Becky, knew Deb, and anyway, that was kind of a neat connection. He invited us to his place for supper Sunday night. We went there, and his son-in-law was visiting from Virginia, and his son-in-law is a lawyer, and he does tax-exempt status and things like that, and said to him, well, we're thinking about buying this thing. Is that something you would do? Is that something you would do? Yeah, I said, there's no problem. I'd do that for you. So that was just like, wow. And so on his articles, when we did the articles incorporation, he kind of sent us a form. First article, moral guidance. In governance of this corporation, the overriding principle shall be the headship of the lordship of Jesus Christ in biblical context. All directors are required to be members in good standing with Anabaptist churches. That was in there. That was in there, what he sent us. That wasn't even in our. So I just remember Jordan saying, where else are you going to get that from? So that was just, and Josh has been, it wasn't free. You know, he didn't just do it for us. It was like $5,000. But Jordan got a 40-page for the incorporation, I think it was. And Jordan just said it was worth every penny of it. He just said it was very easy. He was very easy to work with, very responsive. And so that was kind of like a, wow, God, thank you. It was just a pretty neat thing. That's another piece of the puzzle, right? I'd have one of you children do this, but I can have one of you do that. If one of you want to do that, you can run up here next time, and I'll let you put a piece in. So that was one. So I don't know whose idea it was, but it's like, well, this is kind of a main thing, and how do we show that we're involved in this? And so it was suggested that the main churches raise $150,000. We had $175,000 in the BMM account from the selling of the Brunswick Meeting House, and someone passed away and I think gave like a $35,000, and that money was there. And so with this whole idea of housing, you know, how do we were just sitting on this money. And so with that money, and if we raised $150,000, we could pay the $350,000 outright. And so it was idea of month of June, 30 days, see if we can raise $150,000. We were shy of that. We didn't get that. We got like 137, I think, is what we were at. Ross Gingrich and his wife were up visiting because of a graduation there in the Keller family, I believe it was. He got to talking to Jordan. He went back and said they hadn't had a Bible school project for their offering yet, or they were thinking of doing something with building. He went back, suggested it, they took with it, and raised just shy of $10,000. So that was unsolicited. We did not ask them to do that for us, but that did that brought us right almost up to what, 147, and then somebody put in a check there that had some connections with Maine, and put us just over the top. So we're 150,909.92, I think, is what we're at. And Kara said she's always willing to throw in the extra cents to bring it up to a dollar. And Gideon Minnick said he'd do the same. So I'm trying to get them to always be a little under, so that one of them has to do that, but haven't fully accomplished that. When we were talking about this $350,000, you know, to pay for it, one of my concerns was, I don't think the money to me wasn't maybe as big as of a problem, but who's got the vision to run it? Who's going to manage that thing? Who's willing to own that and make it work? And that was perhaps my biggest concern. Who do we have to do that? My son had been approached, Peter, if he'd be willing to work in the warehouse, and he agreed to that. So we had that position, kind of a run the warehouse, do that. But who's going to be the guy making the phone calls, getting product, you know, kind of keeping a... And Jordan kept telling us, well, he has somebody that's thinking about it. And at some point, it's like, well, we need to know. We need to know. And I'm not sure at what point is like, by this date, find out. Well, Greg Keeney was that man, and he agreed. So he's taking a pretty big plunge. He said right now in life, he has it about as good as he's ever had it with his job and where he's at. But as of, I believe he's done with his job. Maybe Friday, they're visiting in Kentucky and family for 2 weeks and coming back, and with the anticipation of September 1st starting there. Does anybody want to put a piece of puzzle here in for me? Any of you young people? Your chance. Uh-oh, this pile. Uh-oh. Now I did it. Which is which?
You might need a young person.
Yeah, I might need another person. Let's get that in there. I forgot. My piles are about the same, and now I forget which pile I was pulling from. So that was a huge. So we have two people that are willing to run it now. And I feel Greg. Before I knew Greg was even considering it, I said, Greg is the guy. And when I knew Dave, it's like, that's Dave. He was kind of the good people person, good with carpentry. So I think Greg and Jill are planning to work with that pretty close together. I think Jill's hoping for her to get in there and do some of her womanly skills and kind of shape that place up like it may have never been before. So the two men, the lawyer from Maine was also, when working with the purchase agreement, we were looking for a lawyer from Maine to kind of represent us, to kind of know. So Lewiston had used a lawyer that they really liked when they left the denomination, and he was willing to work with us. So that was a real blessing. The fifth one I have here is just the board coming together. Now, some of you know Jordan Keller. I think everybody knows Jordan Keller. And Jordan's let's go. Yeah, he's out front cheerleading. And so I think at one point it's like, this committee has to be more than just Jordan. We have to have more on people on board. And I think we do. I mean, Jordan is obviously the cheerleader. But we went around one day. Philip Newcomer said, I look for all the things that could go wrong. It's like, okay, you need that. That's good. That's a good reason to have somebody on a committee, just looking for the things that could go wrong. And I kind of maybe that's the most extreme too. But I say that to say that we've worked together, and we've come to our decisions together. So it's not one person just pushing this and the rest just yes people and following along. There's been open, I don't know about that, or I don't feel good about that, or what's going on here. And so I think that's been a real blessing. Our name, I feel like that was a gift there, how that kind of came together. I forget where this goes. What's this one? This is a little embarrassing. I think that's there. No, it can't be there. Let me try this one. Here we go. Let's try that. There we go. 10 pieces. It shouldn't be that difficult, right? So the name. And then Jordan gave this. I don't know that this is anywhere in our paperwork, but to go along the idea of last sheaf, to kind of maybe help keep us focused and centered, is the word reap. Reclaim building materials, R, E, educate. How can we use this as an opportunity to maybe educate people? Somebody comes in and says, hey, how do I put a door in, to kind of have a little space there? And Peter or Greg say, hey, here's how you do it. And kind of have a little workstation there and kind of show them, or putting tile down or something. Assist, maybe actually going to their home. And these are all things that we're dreaming. So, what this could look like, what this could be, maybe actually going to their home and assisting in something. And then P, proclaim, an opportunity to proclaim Christ, to pray with people, meet people where they're at. So REAP. The goal of 150,000 reached. I already shared that. A part-time worker there that's actually still working for BME, the old board, just Tony is his name. He worked there quite a few years, and he is still there part-time. And that's the B. That must be the B. That's got it. Yeah, right there. There we go. So, back in the, see, this is, back a little earlier in the summer, I think it was a load of windows that he got a call. We have a load of windows. And the BN board said, don't get them. We don't want to spend the money. We don't want to rent the truck. We don't want to pay you to go get them. He contacted Josh, said, do you want me to get these windows for you? We said, yeah, get them. We'll pay the truck. So he really wants us to get it. And so he's gotten us, like I said, two loads of windows and two, this week he's going for another load of doors. So there is some fresh inventory coming in. So that's, I think that's a good thing, or I perceive that as a good thing, some more inventory coming in. So that's, I feel like it's kind of nice to feel like you have somebody kind of on your side. And I think a number of the other board members are, but there's just been some resistance we've felt from the one that maybe has the strongest vote there. A couple things to think about. I called Dennis Meyer. In the fall of 1981, 31 people moved to Maine, 12 adults and 19 children. I pulled out our 2022 year book, and I know this is not exact, but there's about 190 people now involved in our three fellowships, about 95 adults, 27 youth, and 78 children. One of the things Jordan's passionate about is how are we going to inspire the next generation? Do we just do status quo? Do we realize the fact that we have more people, we have more talent, we have more assets? What are we going to do with that? We're responsible for that. And some of, I think, Gary Miller's books, he's kind of been inspired by some of Gary's words in not wasting away, but utilizing what we have before us. And so that's a kind of an inspiring message that he has, whether it's this project or something else. But this project is the one that seems to have been placed in our lap, and so it's what we're running with right now. So 78 children and 27 youth, 95 adults. A couple other things when I think of potential is a business like this. Randy wrote me a little. I asked Randy to give me some thoughts. Randy Brubaker with his Randy Brookhart, thank you. Brookhart. Just with his experience with a store there at Sanford, and he just said, these aren't his words, but you have people coming to you. You have people actually coming to you for something. And in that, there's conversation, there's opportunities there to ask questions, there's opportunities to say, hey, can we pray with you? So you actually have people coming to you. And I like that better than, I'm not a door-to-door kind of person, but when somebody comes to you and is looking for something, that's an opportunity. And so I feel like that's a great potential. One of the things that started this whole thing was potential, housing. And so now there's a house here on this property. What do we do with that? Rental, it could be a more permanent dwelling, it'd be a temporary dwelling. Again, that local minister said, Mark, do an Airbnb. He said, you'll have that booked a year ahead of time, do an Airbnb. I don't know. Could it be an office space? Could it be a showroom space? Could it be an educational place? We don't know, but it's there, and we feel it has potential. My boss at the food bank, not the chairman, not the head boss, but my particular person directly over me at the food bank is a part of VOAD, which I don't even know what that stands for, but it's like the Maine disaster response team. And I was just talking to him the other day, just last week, and I said, would we have anything to offer that? And he said, oh my, yes. Just the fact you have a space, you have a parking lot where we could unload a trailer load of plywood, and plus we have windows and doors. And so he got actually pretty excited about that. And he said, sometimes after a disaster, they're looking to unload stuff. He said, some time ago there, they had like five truckloads of plywood they were trying to unload, and none of their agencies in Maine had a way to deal with it. That's a possibility. Volunteer opportunities for Engage 207, work project opportunities. I'll put through that a little later. So why am I here tonight? Any guesses? Dun, 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 dun. The other week I started collecting all the things that come to my mail that are looking for money. And they're all good. Every one of them is good. I wouldn't, And I feel guilty. I can never quite throw them away right away. I wait for a week or two or a month, and then I throw them away because it's hard for me to just throw them away right away. Not a good... anybody else like that? So we have the money. We have the money to pay for it as soon as we can get the purchase agreement settled out. What we don't have is we don't have much excess in the BMM fund for wages, the legal fees, and just startup. Getting some of that insulation up and running. I was hoping we would be operating during the summer when we weren't pumping heat into there, and now like it's sat all summer, and now about the time we get it, the heat's gonna be turned on, and that's gonna be a big expense, and but so be it. So that, those are, I am not a salesman, so I'm not, but that is one of the reasons I'm here, because that is one of our needs. I did talk to Philip. I think is known, assumed, but I did talk to Philip. He keeps track. I think Josh is going to be the treasurer once BME has a bank account, but until then, Philip is treasuring that money because he's on the BMM treasurer. So money that's earmarked, that money for this can be earmarked for BMM. He takes care of that. He takes note of that. For some reason, if something fell through, that money could be reimbursed. I don't have it with me, and I couldn't read it if I did. But Ross Gingrich, with the money that he sent Philip from their Bible school, he said children were bringing their piggy banks. I guess it took quite a while to count because they had all this change to count. But whoa, that just raised the integrity. In my mind, that just pushed integrity all the way to the top. That's pretty powerful. Obviously, there's long range expenses. A plow truck, maybe a box truck. I don't think a box truck. It's too cheap. Like $200 to rent a truck. I don't think we can own a truck for $200. So I don't know that that's going to be anything close. The house remodel. There's all kinds of things, but I see those as that's a little further down the road. The last Sheaf Building Materials Exchange is the official name, and it will be its own entity with its own board, its own bank account, and its own address. It's not I don't even know what word to use. It's not just attached to BMM. It's going to be a separate entity, although we do want accountability with BMM, and so BMM will appoint two of the board members. They will have that, and they'll be reporting back there. So it will stand by itself. So it's not, it is a standalone entity, but it is accountable to BMM. There's a few missing pieces. So one little word, indemnity. Anybody know what indemnity means? I don't either, but Earl, you kind of have an idea.
I do, but I'm confused with it.
It has to do with liability.
Liability insurance.
Yeah. Liability insurance is holding up this whole... Okay, I can't put that piece up. Well, I think I need another piece first. Liability insurance is holding up the whole thing right now, the purchase agreement. And the lawyer that we had with Lewiston liked and we liked said, I will not sign the purchase agreement with the indemnity, however they had it. And they're saying, well, that's how you just do it. And so now he said, well, if they won't sign that, I'm out. So he left. And he spent a fair amount of time, and he didn't charge us anything. Jordan just put that email out Friday morning, I think it was. I just got an email. So he's out. We're contacting Tyler Hostetler, the lawyer that did the 501c and the incorporation with the state of Maine, contacting him to see his opinion. So that's a missing piece that we don't have yet, so we don't own it. So Are we going by faith or do we not count the cost? So let you decide that. We do not have our 501c3 status as of yet. But that, I think Josh told me Friday, they had finally agreed on the wording, and Tyler and the guy that was working with sent that paperwork. They wanted to be very careful to get it right the first time. They said, if you don't get that right, if you don't get accepted by the federal government the first time, then the next time you put it through, they'll scrutinize it even harder. So he said, you want to get it right the first time. And so there was a lot of questions to make sure that our articles of incorporation, our vision, and what we want to do, and all that meshed together. And it didn't look like we're just selling used materials and we're operating as a profit. I guess a nonprofit isn't supposed to be able to be self-sustaining by itself. Does that sound right? In the eyes of the IRS.
It can be, but they want to be very careful that it is charity.
Yes, okay. So that was kind of some wording to get that, and we weren't sure enough how, you know, like, are we going to do classes? Are we going to do Bible studies? And to say yes, we are, and then we commit to that. We were a little hesitant to commit to a lot of things we don't even know yet if we can do. And so all those things would have helped, but they word things in such a way, I guess, to make that all somehow. Anyway, the paperwork was supposed to be sent, I think, on Friday. So hopefully that piece comes together. That's another prayer request. The sales purchase agreement, the 501c3, and all we need the 501c3 is, like, doors and windows are being donated by corporations. If we didn't have that, I don't know that we would really need 501c3, but it does help in donors getting a tax. That's the only way they're going to get a tax exempt. And then the other final piece missing is some ready cash. And so, again, I don't like asking for money. So I'm not, this will be the weak part of my presentation, because it really doesn't, you guys already support BMM. And so I'm not asking you to take money from BMM to give to BME, because that's still neat. So this is kind of over and above. Looking at their records, which Josh did, which they gave us over their financial records over the last year, we perceive that I was hoping he would come and he could have shared that. It looked like to us that within 2 years, we should be able to be pretty much self-sustaining. If we can come up to what they were doing in the past years, that we should be able to come up. And Jordan just says, we know building, we have builders. You know, that is something we know. We're not getting into something we don't know. And the other thing BME would do, particularly along the coast, people buy homes that are perfectly good and they don't like, and they want to strip it out. And so maybe it has a brand new kitchen, but they want a different color. And so BME would go and take out that kitchen and then sell a used kitchen. Jim Gould, all his windows came from a house that somebody had on an island, and something changed, and they were going to tear the house down. And they were like real high-end windows. And so I don't know what he did, but he got the right to take all the windows and whatever he wanted, because the house was being torn down. Anything you wanted out of the house, you could take. And it was a very well-built, yeah, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where that reclaim came from. So I was most excited about that, because it's like, maybe here's something we can actually generate some income for the volunteer program. And maybe this is the first step in maybe doing some housing. Now we have windows, we have doors, maybe some, you know, some future things. That's what I got excited about. Because I feel like sometimes people in Pennsylvania might say, when are you guys gonna, you know, get on your hoon and step asking for more money? But that was one thing that kind of got me excited about this. But I don't know, we'll see. So I think, any questions?
When you say this stuff's donated from wherever, like, is this mostly local or like in Maine, or is this coming from far, like companies in Boston?
I think the windows are from New Hampshire. It's too bad I can't tell you the name of the windows.
They're all vinyl windows. They're brand new. I don't know if it, I guess maybe miss, if they were ordered wrong, if they, I don't know. We have two, we had to replace a couple windows in our trailer, and that's where I got them. And you kind of make, I mean, you know, you don't have a size and get the exact size you want. You kind of make the hole as big as the window you buy. You know, so there is a, got to tweak it a little bit most often, but they're brand new vinyl windows. They're not from Maine. The doors might be, I think the doors are like, I don't know where the doors are from, he told me.
How do people find out even to donate to this organization? Like,
well, that's where Dave, I guess in the past, they did that. And then True Value, I think a lot of some of their stuff was True Value. If Ace buys out a True Value, they'll just clean everything else that was true, or vice versa. You know, they'll clean everything out and they'll either donate that or auction it off. And so they have a whole bunch of stuff that's either Ace or True Value. Now that company moved to New York and they're auctioning it. And as Tony said, Mark said, they don't make near as much money auctioning it as they do donating it. You ought to go after that. So that's part of, if somebody has it to go after those kind of sources, there must be, Jim and Andrew Myers got insulation from the Amish in Hiram got a trailer loader of this inch foam insulation that's aluminum sheeted and has a finished vinyl on the one side. And I think it's like, I forget what that costs a sheet. And I think they paid $18 a sheet for it. And I don't want to say how much I think it is because I forget, but it was way, way reduced. So there's, it's like if somebody goes after that or has the tenacity to go after that, and like at the BMM meeting, Doug Miller kind of got all excited. Hey, I know where stuff is. So the possibilities seem maybe endless. I shouldn't say endless, but there's a lot more there. This Amazon stuff, I even think, you know, is that something we could do? Buying some of these Amazon pallets and give it away. Use it as an opportunity to bring people in. But yeah, I don't know about the doors. The windows are, I think, New Hampshire.
The people that come to buy the stuff, is that pretty local, or is that all over the state of Maine and New Hampshire as well?
I can't answer that. I know it's local. How far out, I don't know it is. That was another thing. They have not, you go on their website, you can go on BME website and find stuff that they said it's been there for years. So Philip has agreed to keep a website up to date. So if we, that's another whole avenue that we have to maybe distribute things that has not been used. They just didn't have the time. They just didn't have the time to do it. So there's, we just feel like we have different people have different gifts we feel that can help this thing maybe grow. The house parent that's coming up next year, he's all excited about working there. Although I want to be careful because my daughter says how important it is to have men at the root cellar for these children that don't have good men at home. But I don't think he'll be there all the time, but maybe he'll be there some of the time. I forget what question you asked me. Why did I even say that?
You answered the question.
But what was your question?
Are the purchasers local or all over?
Yeah, I don't know how far. I do know with the food bank, I knew a lady up north, Dixie. I don't know if you ever heard of her, Andy. She ran Catholic Charities up in Presque Isle, about 5 hours away. And they worked closely together. When they needed something for the roof, she got a load of stuff and sent down. And I know sometimes when he had extra things, she has a thrift store, he would send a load up to her. So that would have been not more than just local. But anyone else for me? Earl, if you have a few comments that you'd care to share, and then close with a prayer and I guess a song.
It's just going to be a few minutes. Oh, hi! I didn't know you guys were back there. Mark did such a great job. I think I don't have a whole lot to add to it. Just reading emails. But I have been excited just to read the emails. There's been quite a few, as he said. It's been a hardworking board. I'm impressed with how committed everyone is and how fast responses are made to the emails. Yeah, sometimes I'm on a couple boards and I can take a week or two to respond. I find that the committee is super responsive and getting back, and things are happening very fast. And Jordan, you said it right. He's just got a lot of energy, and he's a great cheerleader. But everybody, I sense, I want to affirm with you that everybody seems to be really, really working together. And so that's exciting. I'm really excited to see that. I like the illustration of the wows. As I've been reading the emails, I go, wow. The whole concept. And I really appreciate the sharing the vision of a project, of a ministry that the churches, the three churches, can rally around, and it can be a vision for growth in the kingdom of God and putting the kingdom of God into action. And I just love some of the ideas that I've heard, the REAP ideas and having a trailer perhaps that's loaded that can go to disaster. And just be proclaimers of the gospel in the process of helping the poor. I just think it's wonderful. So years ago, our history was mostly farmers in the Brethren movement. And in Maine, I don't know if there's any farmers right now, but there's a lot of builders, a lot of contractors. So this just seems to fit so well with the... with what God has provided there. Yes?
Earl, years ago, BND had a warehouse satellite in Sanford, and I think the sign's still down there. So although Sanford seems kind of far away in the connection with this, there's possibilities there as well.
Yeah. That didn't come with the sale agreement? But I just... from afar, I say it's a worthy cause. Another one of the wows is the 137,000 from the churches in Maine. I thought, wow, God, you are amazing. And if God can do that, I think God can multiply that and double that from the churches in Pennsylvania. So, there's going to need to be some capital for these hardworking, committed staff people. And volunteers. volunteers are great, but you have to have some staff to make the volunteer program work smoothly. And so, they're going to need some funds for that. But the prayer commitments, sudden pull out of the attorney on the sale agreement, God can do some big things there. So let's pray for God's power to unleash there for the sale agreement and then the 501c3 completion. And so I think you're doing a great thing, Mark, and your team and your committee. Thank you so much for being willing to jump out in faith, take a step of faith. I'm sure 500,000 looked pretty big. I'm sure 350,000 looked pretty big. But thank God you were willing to step out in faith, and let's support as best we can the work of the kingdom. Shall we stand?